Kia ora. This program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
Why not listen to me, Mike Gawley, and Thomas Bryan, co-host of No Labels, the show for, by, and about issues, barriers, and solutions affecting the disability community in Aotearoa, New Zealand. Every episode focuses on accessibility news and views relevant to our community. That's No Labels with Thomas Bryan and Mike Gawley, playing regularly across the Access Radio network. Hello and welcome, I'm Mike Gawley. On today's show, we profile the accessibility thinking going to next month's Wellington Pride March. Last year, I interviewed Sarah Yule, then Access Advisor to the Pride organisation in Wellington. Everything from physical and sensory impairments, but has that commitment to Access for disabled people survived through to this year in readiness for the March 7th event?
So, Jeremy Baker, can you tell me your role with Wellington Pride at the moment?
Yeah, kia ora, mate. So I'm the event director for the Wellington Pride Parade. I also happen to be secretary of the Wellington Pride Festival, so bringing those two organisations together.
What's involved in being a director of the Wellington Pride March and rally, whatever?
There's a lot of organisation, organising an event for about 40 organisations, about 1,800 participants, and about 12,000 people watch the event, which this year is on the 7th of March.
Yes, that's right. It'll be next month by the time we hear this program.
So it's a pretty large event, certainly one of the larger rainbow LGBTQI events in Wellington, alongside Out in the City, which is the other big festival event. So, yeah, it's pretty critical that it's an accessible event, and that's, I guess, why I'm here talking to you.
What do you mean by accessible?
We want it... everybody in the community to be able to participate or be a spectator in a way that they can access. So obviously understanding that for some people that's a physical issue in terms of their ability to stand or watch the parade. There's also issues to do with people's ability to view the parade or to hear what's going on. So we've talked to a lot of different groups in the community about how we can make the parade as accessible as possible, and we're doing a lot of things, and we're always open to doing more things, but we've made a very big commitment. One of our previous directors, Sarah Yule, was a huge promoter of this, and we're carrying on her legacy and making sure that as many people as possible can actually, as I said, either participate in the parade or be a spectator in a way that they can actually see, hear, or be part of the event.
I did look at your website, and you say a lot about inclusion.
Yep.
But there's no mention of disability per se. Is there a reason for that?
Not specifically that I'm aware of. No. I mean, it is. We do talk about accessibility for disabled people, but yeah, it's a very broad definition of accessibility.
Yeah, because I think as a community we feel often that we're not named,
right,
and therefore fall off the list of things to do. So I'll just say that maybe in the future there might be more about that on your web page.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, my understanding is that there's been a lot of discussions with different parts of the community. We have one of the things that we've got on that page is a feedback form, so if people want to give us feedback about that. So, yeah, absolutely. We're here to support disabled people, people with other access issues, to actually be able to participate in the parade. So do you want me to talk about some of the things that we're doing to try and make that a possibility?
Yeah, please do, yes.
Yeah, cool. So one of the things that we're doing is we have an accessible viewing area. Obviously the parade is pretty crowded, and for some people that's a bit of an issue, whether it's either mobility or because they are not really very keen on large crowds. So we have had in the past an accessible viewing area. We're going to have one again this year. We will have a booking system so that if people want to be able to get access to that, we'll know that they can actually have it, so that, you know, they don't just turn up and hope for the best. We are also working on a low sensory viewing area, ideally being inside at a venue on the parade route so that people can actually watch the parade, but if they just don't want to be surrounded by crowds. And again, we'll have bookings for that. Last year we had volunteers to assist people with disabilities or other issues who, you know, needed support, and we got people to sign up for that, and we'll do that again. That seemed to go really well. We have New Zealand Sign Language interpreters at various points in the event. Obviously, during the start of the event, when we've got various speakers, and also at the end of the event, when we've got people coming in to the end of the parade, and there's an announcer talking about each event coming in. Each group coming in. So we have New Zealand Sign Language interpreters there. One of the other things we got some feedback from last year was that people would like an audio description of the parade. So we're working with a couple of groups to get that done before the parade and describing what's going on. We've worked with organisations like Art Access Aotearoa and Audio Described and so forth to actually get that kind of support. And we're, as I said, one of the reasons I was keen to come on this show is always interested in new ideas and new suggestions from people in the disabled community about, you know, what we could do to make the parade and frankly other parts of the festival as accessible and available to disabled people as possible.
Great. Now, can you tell us a bit about the way that the march and running will take place? What's actually going to physically happen?
Yeah, sure. So on Saturday the 7th of March, we get all of the various participants, which are floats and marching groups and that sort of thing, to assemble in Tennyson Street. And then at about 5 o'clock, once we've got everybody in order, we head off down Cambridge Terrace, a very short way down Cambridge Terrace, and then turn onto Courtney Place, which will all be blocked off. There's usually a start, an opening kind of process to the parade at the corner of Kent Terrace, sorry, Cambridge Terrace and Courtney Place. And then the parade continues along Courtney Place. It sort of has to wait at Taranaki Street because we don't close off Taranaki Street. It's just too much of a nightmare to have that completely closed off. So we have a stop-go kind of system at Taranaki Street and continue along to Dixon Street and finish at the Rainbow Crossing between Dixon Street and Cuba Street. So it's not a very long parade, but it does take about 2 hours for all of the groups to make that journey. We have all kinds of different groups in the parade, we have had people with floats where people with mobility issues have been on those floats. Definitely had people in wheelchairs in the parade, we have, as I said, people, large groups walking or marching right through to, you know, fire trucks. So it's a pretty diverse group of participants. We would encourage any group that is keen to be part of the event to register. You just go to our website, wellingtonprideparade.co.nz, and you can register. And we're happy to work with any groups that that would like to have some additional support to make sure that it's a good experience for them to talk to us. Let us know when you register that you might want some additional support, and we're very happy to provide that.
And what is it that you hope to achieve? I mean, what does, I mean, obviously pride is in the name, so it sounds to
Absolutely.
me like
Yep.
it's about demonstrating the proudness of the community.
Absolutely. So it's we're in partnership with the Wellington Pride Festival. We're using the sort of same kind of theme this year, which is honour the past, plan for the future, and celebrate the now. And the parade is very much in the celebrate part of that element. You know, our communities have made great strides, but frankly, we're also getting quite a lot of pushback, particularly against the trans and non-binary sections of our community at the moment. And we really need to give people a sense of aroha, support, and community, really. You know, that there is a community that backs them, and demonstrate that to the wider public. That's one of the great things, is that you get, you know, over 12,000 people come and line the march and watch the parade, and it's great to get that support. And you know, I get the feedback from participants. It's just this incredible rush of feeling that level of support from the community. There are lots of other events in the Pride Festival that are, you know, more sort of inwardly focused at the community and about helping the community feel great for itself. But this is demonstrating to the wider public and creating that visibility for the full range of our communities in the Rainbow community. So that's the purpose of the parade. It's really to make people feel great.
Yes, now you said, mentioned that the parade last year, there was evidence of people who use wheelchairs there. And
Yep.
I mean, can you give us some sort of sense of how, what proportion of those 12,000 would identify as being disabled as well?
Oh, I couldn't, in terms of 12, the spectators. I mean, we had around 40 people access the that's those sort of specific services that I talked about last year. So in terms of the accessible areas and getting support from our volunteers. So, you know, 40 people put their hand up and said, look, I need some assistance or some guidance. And so, you know, we were very happy to provide that. So that's, I would say, you know, I think that's really great. And we would just always encourage anybody who would love to either come along and watch or be part of the parade to actually, you know, let us know. Lots of ways of contacting us on the website, and we will do our darndest to make sure that those people can have a full participation in the parade, whether it's as a spectator or a participant.
Can I just ask you personally, what motivated you to become involved yourself?
Well, I get I had the pleasure of being involved in the Sydney Pride Mardi Gras parade for a number of years as part of a group of friends over there, and it's that rush of visibility, of being seen and of being open and proud in your community. And I wanted more of that for the Wellington community. So I got involved from day one in the Wellington Pride Parade when it kicked off again after COVID. It sort of died over the COVID period.
Yes.
Kicked off again, and I've been the setup area marshal for the last 3 years. That's, you know, responsible for making sure all the floats are in order, and it is a little bit of organised chaos in Tennyson Street at the beginning. But yeah, it's my job to make sure everybody's, you know, or has been until now, my job to make sure that everybody is in order, and that, you know, that all the floats leave safely and that sort of thing. I've just sort of more latterly stepped up to kind of take overall responsibility for coordinating the very large group of volunteers. We have about 40 volunteers who are involved in helping to make this thing happen, which in itself is a kind of really affirming kind of thing. They have, you know, this is really a community run event, and we're very grateful for the sponsors that we have, people like Wellington Airport and Downer, Woolworths, the City Council, and Transpower, you know, people who have put money on the table. But you know, it is, and that without them we couldn't do it. But it really is the volunteers who actually make the thing happen on the day, and of course the wonderful groups that turn up and participate in the events. They are what makes it happen.
Now you talked about a bit of pushback against some parts of the Rainbow community. Do you expect, or are you worried about any of that pushback being evident on the parade day?
Yeah, so you may remember we did have Destiny's Church turn up and try to interfere with our parade last year. They did the same thing in Auckland, and unfortunately they were a lot more successful in Auckland in terms of interfering with the parade. We were, I guess, a little bit pre-warned. They'd blocked an aspect of the Auckland parade about a week or so before us. We had done a lot of thinking about how we were going to deal with that. We'd trained our volunteers really well, and frankly we'd had a very good working relationship with the Wellington Police, who actually, to be honest, did an incredibly good job of de-escalating that activity. They tried to stop the parade at that Taranaki stop start go area. The police just very quietly and calmly walked them away. There were frankly very few of them. I think there were about 5 or 6 or 7 of them, and it was pretty abysmal. And they really, most people would not have noticed that they were there at all. So we're ready for that again. Whether it happens or not, I don't know. Look, the community support in Pōneke, Wellington is huge. This is New Zealand's queerest city. The census results of that were pretty stunning. So we know that we have the wider community support, but you know there obviously are occasionally elements, frankly imported from ideas imported from overseas. This is largely a US-UK narrative argument that's being foisted onto Aotearoa, and it's mostly about trans issues and an attempt to sort of highly politicise stuff. It's part of a wider culture war bullshit, rather than actually anything to do with what's really going on in New Zealand. But we obviously have to be mindful of that. We need to keep all of our participants and our community safe. So we continue to work very closely with the City Council, who are very supportive, with the police, with the Māori Wardens, and other groups who help to make the event a safe one.
Enough hours in the day for you, Jeremy. It sounds like you've got a very full-on job here.
Yeah, I'm currently between jobs, so that's actually a good thing. I'm taking a little bit of a break and stepping up to do this mahi, which I love. And look, I could not do it without that amazing group of volunteers and those amazing sponsors that are helping us to do it. So I want to thank all of them. And just encourage anybody who would like to be part of this or just come along and watch it to take advantage of what we're trying to do to support people to be able to do that.
Thanks, Jeremy. That's great. Now, one thing I wanted to talk to you about, because one of the things we do on No Neighbours these days is ask the guests to nominate a favourite music track.
All right.
To play on the show. And I was thinking, but you might not agree with me, Tom Robinson Band will sing If You're Proud to Be Gay.
Sure. Let's do that.
Yeah, I think that'd be a really good one. Yes.
Absolutely.
Not Tom Robinson, the individual in the UK, but the band.
Yeah. Cool. That sounds great.
Okay, Jeremy, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you. Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks for all your work you do, Mike. Cheers.
Yep.
That's this year's Wellington Pride March organiser, director Jeremy Baker, wrapping up today's show. And don't forget the march is time for Saturday, 7th of the March. That's next month. And as we end this month's show, we'll go out with Gay Anthem, Glad to Be Gay, from the UK's Tom Robinson Band. Until next time, I'm Mike Gawley, looking forward to your company then. Ka kite anō. British police are the best in the world. I don't believe one of these stories I've heard about them raiding gay bars for no reason at all. Lining the customers up by the wall. Picking out people, knocking them down. Resisting arrest as they're kicked on the ground. Searching their houses and calling them queer. I don't believe that sort of thing happens here. You don't have to be gay to sing on this chorus, but it helps. Sing if you're glad to be gay. Sing if you're happy that way. Hey, sing if you're glad to be gay. Sing if you're happy that way. Being a lesbian's wonderful fun. You ain't fit to mother a daughter or son.
There's no news in Gay News, our last magazine, but they still find excuses to call it obscene. Read how disgusting we are in the press, the Evening News and the Sunday Express. Molesters of children, corruptors of youth, it's there in the paper, it must be the truth. So try and sing if you're glad to be gay. Sing if you're happy that way. Hey, sing if you're glad to be gay. Sing if you're happy that way. Have you heard the story about Peter Wells, who one day got arrested and dragged to the cells for being in love with a guy of 18? The vicar found out they'd been having a scene. The magistrate sent him for trial by the Crown. He even appealed, but they still sent him down. He was only mistreated a couple of years, 'cause even in prison they look after the queers. Better believe it. Sing if you're glad to be gay. Sing if you're happy that way. Hey, sing if you're glad to be gay. Sing if you're happy that way. And sit back and watch as they close down our clubs, arrest us for meeting and raid all our pubs. Make sure your boyfriend's at least 21, and if you're a lesbian, don't be a mum. Lie to your workmates, lie to your folks, put down the queens and tell anti-queer jokes. Gay lib's ridiculous, join their laughter, the buggers are legal now, what more are they after? Sing if you're glad to be gay, sing if you're happy that way. Hey, sing if you're glad to be gay, sing if you're happy that way. One more time. Sing if you're glad to be gay, sing if you're happy that way. Hey, sing if you're glad to be gay, sing if you're happy this way.
That program was brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard. Thanks New Zealand On Air for funding accessmedia.nz.